Even when the PowerPoint doesn't work, all things work together for good to those that love the Lord. I think that there was as Satan came into the garden, something came into this and messed it all up. I could see the frustration on Tim's face this morning because his presentation wouldn't even work. So I'm going to just have to hit buttons here. We welcome each of you, and we appreciate you being here, and hope that you enjoy the lesson, and hope you enjoy meeting with the people here. This is God's people, and we love to have you as visitors. I want to talk today about a world of hurt. And if you've looked around you, there's hurt everywhere. For some reason, that's not even... There we go. So I want to start this way. In Psalm, the 46th chapter, verses 1 through 3, it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, and though the waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at his swelling pride. He's saying that there's things that can go wrong around us. And those things do go wrong very often. We have tragedies that happen every day. If you've noticed the floods that come on the earth, and we see people destroyed, we see homes destroyed, we see the property gone, and we see that there's people hurting and crying continually. We also see that the weather doesn't look favorably sometimes. We complain about the fog, but there's a lot worse things that go on. Hail so big that it can break windshields. And you have these storms and the weather that you never can predict, really, even though they try to predict what's going to happen. Then all of a sudden, in fact, I bought a tree one time and just planted it, and the wind blew so hard it broke it off, and I'd paid over $100 for the tree. So these things happen. And then we see fire that just destroys things. Don't know why it happens, but we have fire here in California, and we see people are still suffering from that fire. In fact, I went to the doctor, and he said, your eyes are having you problems, and it's still from that fire. That was a long time ago. And then we see people like Job. In Job 3:24, he says, for my groaning comes at the sight of my food, and my cries pour out like water. And you can see him there, and he recognizes something. And that is, somehow or another, God is responsible. And we wonder, as we think about these things, about the accidents that we have even. In Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 11, again I saw under the sun, the face of the swift is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to the intelligent, nor favor to those with knowledge, but time and chance happen to all. And these time and chances can be a catastrophe at time. I read where a woman was looking out of her window. She saw a little child playing in a driveway. And she saw the truck backing out. And she couldn't get there in time. And the truck ran over that little child. And people all the time ask, why? Why in the world do these things happen? My daughter, when she was little, she was going to school, and she hated going to school. She just didn't like it at all. In fact, she got on a girls' baseball team one time and she said, "I'm afraid they may hit the ball to me." So she wasn't much of a ball player. But somehow or another, a pencil stuck in her nose, and she still has the lead in her nose today. Pain, pain, pain. I know a man that fell off a roof and broke his back. It was a horrible thing. I bring all this up for a reason. Evil is there. And some people kill humans for pleasure. I'm trying to get you to see from an atheist's eye. People purposely poison other people. So we've got all of these things happening all the time around us. We've got warmongers, and everywhere you see there's wars going on, and there's going to be wars going on as long as time is here. And I think sometimes as I watch about little children, the pedophiles that are running around, how horrible it is. Sickness, Job and his hurting. My sister had polio. When I was 12 years old, she had polio and never walked a day again in her life and had to go in a wheelchair until she finally died. Cancer hits all of us, and we never know when it's going to hit. As Jeff said this morning, somebody has ovarian cancer. And then I think about the heartache that people have that gone through, and I know some have gone through, that of divorce, and how sick they are, and we admire those that go through it and stay faithful to God. And then, of course, there is death. And death is described in the Bible as an enemy. It's the last enemy that will be destroyed. So it's atheists' best argument. If there is a God, where is he? And I think that's a good question. And a good God would not allow such suffering. When you really think about it, would a good God allow such suffering? And it's too evident to them that there is no God in control of everything. And they say there is no God, and we blame him for everything. That doesn't make much sense, does it? We need a mature faith. And why I'm bringing this lesson is because we're in Romans 8. But I'm bringing the lesson because I want us to see that sometimes we try to make excuses for God. And we need a mature faith, and I'm afraid we made God like Santa Claus instead of being the God of the power that he has. We do not need to defend God. God is fully capable of that. We may need to defend his gospel. In Isaiah 46, 9 and 10, it says, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from the ancient times things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all my purpose." Now, this is the powerful God that you and I serve. This is not that God that we blame everything on. We know that God is in control. And we need to understand why God allows these things. And I think a better question would be, why? What would happen if all of these things stopped and God would not allow these things? That would be a catastrophe if you really think about it, as long as this earth is the way that it is. In Ephesians 1 and 11, he says, "In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will." So we have to say that everything that is happening, that God does permit it, and sometimes he even causes it. If we recognize that, we're starting to be mature. In Exodus 4:11, as Moses said, "I can't speak. God, I'm not eloquent. I can't speak. You're wanting me to do something I can't do." And then the Lord said to him, "Who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord?" So God says, don't say you can't do something if I say that you can. Because he is in control. I want us to recognize this, that all suffering comes from the wrath of God. I want you to let that sink in your mind. All of the suffering comes from the wrath of God. And God is working with redemptive anger. He is not like you and I. He doesn't have the kind of anger we have. He's not frothing at the mouth. He's not any of that. But he set a curse upon this earth. And whether you're guilty or whether you're innocent, suffering is going to be there. And we need to recognize that that suffering is there. God will one day destroy what caused the wrath in the first place. And we look forward to that day, and that's what we're working for, that eternal life that is really life. But right now we are suffering with things, and even the apostles were suffering. So God put the whole world under a curse and said, now the earth is not going to cooperate. You're going to have to force it to give you what you need. So we ask the question, would God put even the innocent under a curse? That's a deep question when you really think about it. Would God really put the innocent under a curse? God put his son under a curse, and he was innocent, and he paid the penalty. Yes, even a little child dies. It says in Genesis 3:14-19, and Tim was kind of talking about it, "The Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. To the woman he said, I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing." Have you ever known a woman that didn't have a lot of pain in childbearing? It's pain from the time they're being born to the time of adulthood. "You shall bring forth your children, your desire shall be for your husband, and you shall rule over you. And Adam," he said, "because you have listened to the voice of your wife, eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat at the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, and out of the dust you will return. So he says from the very beginning, after man had sinned, this is what's coming. We have a cursed earth. So now let's go to Romans, the 8th chapter. And this is really what we're talking about. Paul says, "For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." So there's something coming that God says, you can't even compare any of the suffering, and you think of all the suffering that men are going through. You can't even compare what that to what God has in store for us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. Now, this is not just man. He is saying, I want you to recognize that creation, all of creation out here, is waiting for the revealing of the sons of God, when the sons of God are going to finally take over the new earth. And they will be over it and rule the way that Tim talked this morning. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him, that is God, who subjected it, in hope. Now let's just stop there for a minute. In hope. Hope is an earnest expectation. We all know that, right? If you take away all of these pains, all of these problems, everything, what do you have? Well, you have it where women would not have to watch their children. They would be safe. You have it where the husband would not have to protect his wife, and my wife is so proud that I'm so strong. And you wouldn't have to worry about anything, your money or anything. I see people are being robbed at the ATMs. For the creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. I don't think we see what the earth is going to become in this new earth, but we're heading that way. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, we who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we are saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. I wonder how many of us really would be thrilled if we found out Jesus is coming back today. I can tell you I would be. I would be so excited that Jesus is coming today and this is all going to be over and all of this mess out of here is gone and I'm at last free and I'm going on to be able to rule with Christ over this new earth. And we're not going to be parted anymore. God is taking us to a place and all of it's going back to God and it's going to be fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So we go through the pain and in that pain we have hope. And we look forward to the day that we're going to escape this. And God says, I've given this and put you in futility. nothing amounts to anything, the temporal things. But the spiritual things are everything. That is the true life. That is where reality is. That's where we get to God. Is I have to look at the spiritual things instead of the physical things. Because the physical things, whenever you get down to it, they all are rubbish. They don't amount to anything. In that, my first LaSalle car, where is it today? I was so proud of it when I got it, but where is my LaSalle car today? I have no idea. It's gone. And I look at the beautiful son that I had, Larry French. Most of you knew him. Stood there in the back of the building because his legs hurt so bad that he couldn't sit down very long. I saw him on a Sunday morning, and Monday I watched him as he was dead. And I watched my daughter die. I've watched death, and I hate death. I want you to remember that in all the world, God saved only 8 people in the flood. He drowned all of the others. They're gone. How could God do that? Because God knows what he's doing. That's how he could do it. We do not need to say he permitted the suffering. Some of it he caused it. Job always recognized this pain that I'm going through, these horrible things. What did I do so wrong that I am suffering this? And you know what God really said? He said, you know what? If I told you, you wouldn't understand it. So I'm not even going to tell you. But I know what I'm doing. And he let his son die. Here's what I think God is using a megaphone to shout to us. Something is wrong. We need to figure out what that something is wrong is. That's the first question I think man should ask. It's all this going on. Something is wrong. What has caused all of this? And I think that we're going to come up with the same answer if we really look for it, and that is sin. That's the answer. A little three-letter word, sin, and he says that's caused all of this. You threw everything out of whack. Even the world, even the atmosphere, all of this you threw out of whack when you sinned. And God put us away from the tree of life. And we won't get it back. So we've got a simple answer to complex question. In Isaiah 12 and verse 1, you will say in that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, though you were angry with me, your anger turned away, and that you might comfort me. How much comfort do you take in what God has done for you? That in all of the pain, I still have joy in my heart because God says, I am here and I'm working for you. And you need to recognize your prize is not there. In Hebrews 2, 5 through 9, and I want you to listen to this carefully. It was not to the angels that God subjected the world to come. So there's a world coming. We see that. There's a world coming. He's not subjected the world to come of which we are speaking. It has been testified somewhere, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, putting everything in subjection under his feet. Now, in putting everything in subjection to him, he left nothing outside his control. At present, we do not yet see everything in subjection to him. Meaning, one day you will see everything in subjection to him. But we see him for a little while, was made lower than the angels. Namely, Jesus crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. Aren't you glad he overcame death? Aren't you glad that you and I are going to be resurrected? People say, what kind of a body will we have? A body like Christ. That's what the body will be like. In 2 Peter 3:13, but according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Now I want you to think about an earth here, and you and I being on it, and we know that everybody is righteous. Nobody's going to do anything to harm you. We are walking completely by love. We are walking completely because we are being, our spirit has now agreeing with our flesh, and we're not in that battle anymore, and everybody is righteous, and we're not going to steal. There's no adulteries, there's none of that. There's no problems, there's no killings. And we say, you know, all of that was worth it for us to finally get to this place. That righteousness is all about me. Didn't Jesus say, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth? We're going to see that come to pass. In Acts, the third chapter, in verse 19 through 21, we read these passages, but do we glean out of them what's really there? He says in Acts 3:19-21, and this is the same as Acts 2:38, it's a parallel passage. Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. And they talked about a new heaven and a new earth, and this righteousness is coming. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 4, for while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. So he's saying we're looking for something to where we're immortal. That is, we're never subject to death. We are in a life, and it's not just life. It is life that is complete. It's life that you're really living. I see people and they say, this isn't really living, it's existing. So, in conclusion, I hope that the message has got across. In conclusion, without pain, there would be no hope. I want you to realize that. Without pain, there is no hope. And pain can be all around us. We can see it. We may not have a pain right now, but we see pain and we feel pain and we hurt. Peggy, trying to loose a butterfly. That's a good thing. And she falls and hurts her leg. In suffering, the good thing in that is you look forward to something better. God says, I need to get your attention that something is wrong, and I'm going to give you something so much better. And it's in my Son, Jesus Christ. So the atheists blame it all on someone they do not believe exists. And soon our suffering will be overtaken by glory. Look forward to that. Look forward to that wonderful time that we're not going to be parted again. I can just imagine if I want to go see Sheila and Dion, I'm there. And we won't have to worry about time. We've got a lot to get done in this life. And we need to get busy doing what God wants us to do, proclaiming the gospel and glorifying Him every day. If you're not a Christian, you can become one today. The baptistry is ready. And you need to believe that God loves you. And He loved you so much that He sent His Son to die on the cross of Calvary. And you need to repent. That is, change your mind who's going to direct your life. You need to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Be baptized for the remission of your sins as you enter into the death of Christ, where you receive the blood of Christ, and you're on your way to living faithfully until that day that we're resurrected. But while we're here, live in that hope. Won't you come while together we stand and sing?